Jesus, we thank you for Rich. We thank you for bringing him to this church and for everything he does here. And Lord, we just pray that you will give him the words that speak directly into our hearts and into our lives tonight, and the words that we need to hear. Amen.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Nice and loud. It's a great start. So tonight we're talking about I quit being quiet. I kind of got the notification, kind of came through an email that this is what I was going to speak on, and I thought, what a really, really bad sermon title. I love being quiet. Why on earth do I want to preach about stop being quiet? I mean, in the mornings, when my wife is still in bed, I like to get up, have a cup of coffee, sit down, read. Just that moment of peace and quiet is beautiful. Why on earth would I want to ruin that with noisiness? And also, even if you think about it as Christians, we're told to be quiet. You know, I'm sure all of us have had these conversations with our friends where they go on, how's your quiet time going? You know, praying, reading, quietly going through stuff. So why on earth do we want to be loud? And then also, the other thing I was thinking about with this was also coming into church. We kind of come here and we always look for this amazing, perfect sermon that's going to transform our lives, and it's going to so-called... This word that I kept hearing when I was kind of preparing for this was the word convict us. Bit of a weird term, really, isn't it? If you kind of say, hey, I got convicted at church this week. Yeah. Not something you're going to boast about from anywhere, really. Yet, we as Christians tend to do that. We tend to go into our little silos. We tend to learn and study and pray. But then what? Do we just get convicted? And then what happens on a Monday? And a Tuesday. And for me, on the conviction part, what I really saw amazingly well when I was preparing for this was in Luke 18 and Luke 19. So for those of you that know the scriptures well, and I'm sure you all do phenomenally well from your quiet times, Luke 18 is about the story of the rich young ruler. And within that story, if we all remember, he comes up to Jesus and he says, Jesus, I've done everything. I'm following all of your laws. I'm doing everything. But I'm still missing something. And Jesus says, well, you're missing one thing. You need to give half your money away and come and follow me. And he goes, okay, cool, I'm going to walk off. And at that moment, Jesus doesn't go, yes, disciples, high five, that guy's just been convicted. No, he doesn't. He has compassion in him, and he takes the disciples to the side and says, that camel over there that you see can get through this eye of a needle, yet that man will not get into heaven. And that's immediately followed up by another rich man, Zacchaeus, who opens up his house to everybody. He invites all the neighborhood round. He almost invites all of Peckham into his house and Jesus. And in that moment, Jesus says, this house is blessed. And what Jesus is pointing out to his disciples is he's teaching them, saying, hey, there's a faith element with me. Because when you experience me, we're meant to change. We're meant to do rather than just follow. And tonight, as we're going to look at the Great Commission in Matthew, I think this is what we're meant to do. It's a doing. It's not about silence and quiet. We're meant to go do. So, let's turn to the Great Commission, which is page 1001 in your Bibles. So it says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus went to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I will be with you always, to the very end of the age. So, as we turn here, what I find amazing, I'm going to jump on a little bit, not kind of skipping the first part, but what I really find amazing was what Jesus says in verse 18. It says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. In that one moment, he's not saying all authority in Israel has been given to me. He's saying all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. So if we think about it, the disciples are there, Jesus has died, he's risen, and he's saying, I've got everything. In essence, what he's saying is, through the 3 years that you followed me everywhere, I was telling you that I'm the Son of God. I am this person that you've been waiting for. And here he says, here you go, here it is. I am now here. And what's really interesting is that he then goes on to the therefore. That therefore is a command. So he's commanding his disciples to do something. So literally, if you thought about it, if, say for example, I was to die, rose 3 days later, came back before you, and said, all authority in heaven and earth I have got, this is my command to you, you're probably going to listen. And the next words he says is not, guys, go and build a building. We really need a building. Israel is kind of crumbling apart. Go and build that. He doesn't say, go and make a cup of tea and hide, either. What he says is, he says, go and make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then the best line for me of all is that he's almost telling them, I think, where he says, as I've commanded you, it's almost saying that, hey, you spent 3 years with me, everything you learned from me, all my teaching, I've now given you, use that to build your disciples. And then he follows it up by saying, I'm with you to the very end. He's literally saying, I'm by your right-hand side or your left-hand side. Wherever you go, I'm right there helping you build disciples. If you need help, I'm there, is what he's saying. And Matthew's gospel ends. It literally just ends there. There's no ascension story. Like, if you look at all the other gospels, there is an end conclusion, where Matthew's doesn't. Literally, if you flip over the page, it's Mark's gospel next. And I think Matthew did that for a very reason. Because he's calling us to continue that journey. He's calling us to carry on being the disciples of Jesus. And so will you? So let's look at that word, disciple. It's a bit of a weird word, really, isn't it? But basically it means that you are to be taught. But more importantly, it's also an element of teaching others. Where this came from was first century rabbis. What they would do is they would select gifted students. They would train them up, pass on their knowledge, and they would generally anywhere between about 12 to about 30 students is what they would gather, depending on how big a well-known name they were. And they would just teach them. And basically what that meant was they would almost come in every day, they would spend every single day, like a job, 9 till 5, with that rabbi and learn. But then they would go back home. So the teachings that they were taught, they would go back home and then they would share that with their family, their friends. So in essence, the rabbi's teaching and knowledge of the scriptures will be passed out. And hopefully the rabbi's aim was that his understanding and teaching would be the best in Israel. So a disciple is someone that is taught, but also teaches. So now we've kind of learnt about that. There's going to be a video coming up. And it's also important to know that Jesus taught very much along those lines as well. But instead of like a rabbi who taught Old Testament principles, Jesus taught them his life. So let's look at what discipleship is not.
When I was a kid, we used to play this game called Simon Says. All right, most of us have played that, unless you're really young, because there's no app for it. Simon Says is, Simon Says, pat your head, you know, so okay, you know, Simon said it. It was a very simple game, but it's so weird how in the church, Jesus Says is a totally different game. If Jesus says something, you don't have to do it, you just have to memorize it. You study it, you memorize. You guys, it doesn't make any sense. A lot of the things we do, when he tells us to go out and make disciples, and how many people in our churches are actually making disciples? But they memorized it. You know, when I tell my daughter, hey Rach, go clean your room, she doesn't come back to me 2 hours later and go, I memorized what you said. You said, Rach, go clean your room. I can say it in Greek. My friends are going to come over and we're going to have a study on what it would look like if I cleaned my room. She knows better than that. And so why do we think we're going to come before the judge one day and quote everything that he said and talk about how much we know? It's just this black and white stuff. If I just started with scripture, I'd go, here's what I would do. I'd start making disciples.
So, there we go. That's what discipleship is not. And there's another video that I'm just going to show of what discipleship is. Discipleship is, in essence, it's just sharing our lives. It's actually going out and loving others. That's it, in a nutshell. And for me, if I'm being quite honest, there are two verses in the Bible that always keep me awake at night. First one is walking through, no one shall be able to find the small and narrow door to gain access, which is also in Matthew's Gospel. And then it's this one around the Great Commission. And the reason that this one keeps me awake is because actually if I look at my life, I'm probably not making anywhere near as many disciples as I probably could be. I try in little areas, certainly by, you know, speaking to cleaning staff in the office, talking to colleagues when they're going through various issues and struggling. But I know deep down I can certainly do more and probably should be doing more. But I just know that thanks to God's grace, that in those areas where I don't do, God is teaching me for the second time that I can actually go do. And just my encouragement this evening, here tonight, is that instead of being quiet, we will happily go out and be loud. We will share the love of Jesus with others and not do a Bible study just because it feels holy. That instead of asking Christian friends, how's our quiet time going, we're actually going to ask, how's our discipling going? In our lives, we can all start somewhere small. And I've got one video that demonstrates this to me perfectly. I saw it on the week before, and I'm just going to play it because it's a great video. what did that officer do? For me, what he did was countercultural. He was probably trained to apprehend and put that guy on the floor. He's come into the police station, come at him with a knife, and the first thing he does is sit down and has a conversation with him. Like, how weird and brazen is that? How confident is he in what he's doing? But then not only that, the reason I wanted to show you that is because right at the very end, he says he gives the guy a guitar, and then he takes him out for food. He's sharing his life with that guy. He's opening up and saying, hey, this is me. This is how I deal with stress. I get you going through anxious times. I do too. This is what I do. That's discipling. And so I just want to spend the moment now and just ask us to really kind of think through, no matter whatever we face in our work, our home, and our lives generally, we can all go and be disciples. So I just want to spend a few minutes, just really thinking through, is there people in our lives that we can help disciple? I suspect we all know people that we can reach out to and share and open up our lives to. So as we do, my final point on this is that this is our role as a church. This isn't a clergy-only task to disciple. All of us as a church need to do this, to support each other in being better disciples. And so let's just take a moment in silence, just pray. And if you get a name that drops into your head, I'm probably going to say, that's definitely a God thing. So probably reach out to the person sometime this week. Father, help us to be better disciples. Help us to rely on you and to be better with you. Help us to always just rest on you when we're struggling. We heard last week about everything being at your pace. So guide us in that. Just make sure that we are just going in step with you as we disciple, Lord. Give us the wisdom, the encouragement, and the ability to open up our lives. Help us as a church to reach this city. Help us to disciple those in Peckham. Help us, Lord, even if it's just as we walk down the street, we see somebody, just prod us to speak to that person. Give us opportunities as a church to be encouraged by you.